Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to At Home with Victoria, a news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network with your host and TV journalist, Victoria Gaither, and entertainment co-host, Michael Kay. Now, here's Victoria.
Well, it is 8 o'clock on the East Coast. That means it's time for At Home with Victoria. As always, I want to take the time to thank everybody for listening to At Home with Victoria. I am Victoria Gaither, television journalist and National Press Club member in D.C. And on the other end of this is my radio hubby, also National Press Club member, I might add. You guys know a couple weeks ago Michael made that announcement that he is now officially a member of the National Press Club. National Press Club member Michael Kay, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic. I had a nice bout with my allergies because I had the windows open because it was so lovely. So all of that lovely whatever is about to bloom is in my house right now.
Well, and you know what, speaking of that, hasn't it been fantastic because of daylight saving time, which was blessed yesterday, although we lose an hour, you know, to be able to look outside at 6 o'clock, Michael, and it's still daylight, it's the greatest thing in the world. I'm like, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, no, it does have its bonuses. I certainly will give you that. And it was, but however, the extra hour of sleep, and it's not even a physical hour less kind of a thing. It's all psychosomatic in our brain. So, however, it's just one of those things that we have to forcibly do. And then, of course, I forgot to change the clocks on Sunday. So I thought, woohoo. And then I thought, oh, no. Turn on my iPad. It's like, oh, damn. It's actually that time. Okay, I got to get my butt moving. But absolutely.
But I think that happens to, I do think that happens to all of us. So we all sort of go through that. And speaking of going through, I'm telling you, the guest that we have on tonight, guys, on At Home with Victoria, has gone through a lot and has an amazing, amazing story to tell, Michael, with a little bit of a small connection to you. I just always like to point out, for those of you that don't know, Michael is Canadian, and I always like to mention that when we have sort of a little tie-in on At Home with Victoria. So we've got a pretty interesting story tonight, Michael, don't we?
Yeah, we do, actually. Originally from Fort McMurray, Alberta, David Tuckerow Jr. Ended up getting leukemia at 25 years old, and Morales Scott has written the book Bad to the Bone, available on Amazon.com. And Morales was actually sick today, so thankfully we do have the subject, David Tuckerow Jr., joining us tonight to tell us of his story of being diagnosed and what he had to go through to get on the other side. So, Tunzi, David, how are you tonight?
I am excellent. How are you doing?
Doing good, buddy. But tonight's all about you.
Did I hear you say Tunzi a second ago?
I did. I was brushing up on my Cree.
I thought
Tunzi.
I heard that.
And I also know Masnaigan Atsikus, which is basically pencil and paper. That's the extent of my Cree, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I know Tanse, Manando, hello, goodbye. That's really about it. I really got to brush up on that. My grandmother has cue cards, so I'm going to get those from her and start learning my language.
Absolutely. Well, how did you end up running in? I'm sorry, go ahead, Vic.
No, I'm sorry. No, I just wanted to say, speaking of language, I think that's a good point of reference for you to start off. And to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I was born and raised in Fort McMurray, Alberta. I'm Mikisew Cree, First Nation. I grew up in Fort McMurray, like I said. Went to school out in Vancouver Island and basically just kind of lived around British Columbia and Alberta, working different jobs, going to school. And in the very end, before I got sick, I was getting ready to open up a coffee shop and then, you know, had to completely change plans after that. But I've lived in Canada most of my life. It's not been until recently that I moved south.
So
Michael?
And I lived in Vancouver right before I moved here. So I was out on Davie Street, and what a small world. Yeah, not nice anymore. It's too expensive to live there, that's for damn sure. But
that's, sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll always have a heart there.
What led you to the doctor? What kind of symptoms were you having to go ahead and go in for a little bit of a checkup and see what was going wrong with you?
Well, initially, I started getting sharp stabbing pains on my left side, and I didn't really think anything of it. And from there, I just got to really bad flu-like symptoms. And then I would start to see white dots and black floaties in my vision, you know, extreme nausea, extreme vomiting, hemorrhaging, fatigue. There was days I couldn't, you know, get up off of a couch to move to get a glass of water. Like, I just could not move. So thinking that I just had the flu really bad, I didn't, you know, I guess subconsciously something said, don't go to the doctor, don't go to the doctor because you're going to get bad news. And I let it progress so far that on Christmas Eve, you know, I had no choice. It's either, you know, I was going to go in an ambulance or my mom and sister were going to take me to the hospital. And I'm a very introverted person. I don't like to cause a scene or draw attention to myself. So I said, you know, just bring me to the hospital. And that's, you know, when I was diagnosed with ALL leukemia.
Wow. So you're diagnosed, and then what happens? I mean, what do you start to do?
See, that's the weird thing. When I was first diagnosed, I mean, I wasn't expecting to hear anything like that. When I was in the bed, you know, I had a few different blood draws taken, and each time I guess it was getting progressively worse and worse. And I didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. And for me, there was a guy on the left in Kelowna General Hospital that was screaming in pain. And I think they just put a catheter in, if I'm not mistaken. And I just couldn't help thinking, whatever I got, this guy has it worse. That's all I could think of in my head. So 2 o'clock in the morning, the doctor comes in, and he just starts reeling off a bunch of medical talk, you know, red cells, T cells, white cells, hemoglobin, leukemia, and he keeps talking. And I just was stunned. I was shocked. It just, leukemia, what's leukemia? I know what it is, but I don't know what it is, if that makes any sense to you guys. I just didn't know how to make sense of that. It was just, the way he said it and the way it came off, it just was so nonchalant. But for me, it was like, is he joking? Is he messing with me? So I can't really give you like a definitive answer on what I was feeling, because shock is the only thing I could say that I felt.
Now, was there ever anyone within your family and in your community that suffered also from leukemia?
I mean, friends of the family, yeah. There was one friend of the family on my mom's side that had, I believe, CML, chronic myelogenic leukemia, and he had passed, but I mean, we have no blood ties or anything like that, so no.
Interesting, very interesting. And David, I also wanted to ask you, because in fact I'm looking at an article, a well-written article, I may say, that Michael sent over to me that was written by Maria Church, with a really cool picture of you inside of, kind of with your hands folded. So once you actually, you know, have to listen to what the doctor says, and I'm sure it's like a surreal experience when he says that you actually have that, did you have moments maybe 2 or 3 days later where you kind of did the breaking down and the crying and thought, I just cannot believe that this is happening to me at such a young age?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was a lot sooner than, you know, 3 days. It was pretty much right away. I just remember after, you know, the whole rush of it all, of getting, you know, into Vancouver General and set up, that I actually had time to really think, this is happening right now, and I'm really scared. I don't want to leave yet. I still feel like I've got, you know, more serving in this world to help people, to, you know, I got to be a better person. I want to, you know, and then obviously anger quickly followed that to, why me? Why not the murderer, the drug dealer, the pedophile, or the rapist, or you know, why me? You know, I'm a good person, just doing the best I can. So that came into play. And really, you know, you go through a whole series of emotions through this, but it took a while for me to get out of the anger phase and really get into the acceptance phase, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I think your strength also, I would suggest, like I said, I'm meeting you for the first time tonight, but your father is a very, very prominent businessman up in Fort McMurray. So, I mean, I think the stoicism of your father must have given you a lot of the drive. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. My dad, you know, he doesn't give up, and he's a very strong-willed man. And I absolutely believe I got a lot of his, you know, strong will in me. And at first, you know, when I was diagnosed, I didn't think of it. You know, I mean, I got a bunch of sentences said to me from the doctor, but I didn't accept that because I knew in my heart I wasn't ready. But my thing was I didn't want to see my family hurting and, you know, kind of suffering through this. I wanted to let them know that I was going to be okay no matter which way this went.
Yeah. So you went through the diagnosis, you went through the little bit of a nervous breakdown and stuff, and then you start treatment. So you went through the natural rounds of chemotherapy, correct?
Yeah, well, I went through the first round of chemo, wasn't strong enough, and the doctors quickly had to come up with a plan B. And from what I know, because I'm still getting bits and pieces of it, I had the strongest possible chemos that were out there, because I think there was a couple that they put me on. And just, like, the worst-case scenario is basically what the treatment was for me, was the worst-case scenario.
Mm. Yeah, because that's a killer treatment. Vic, how about you?
Yeah, I was literally thinking about that. And David and Michael, I was thinking as a journalist, I mean, I've covered so many different stories where people go through cancer and people are diagnosed with cancer. And I just wanted to talk about the family because you had mentioned your father. David, talk about the importance of family and really how family just really does help you through something like this.
Well, family is everything, no matter what the situation is. And in this particular case, you know, it really was God just kind of saying, you guys need to get a bit closer here as a family, you know, because we're all spread out doing different things. And in my opinion, I think that's what his plan was to get us closer together. And really what it's done for me and my father is just night and day. We talk on a daily basis now. We hang out all the time. I talk to my mom on Skype all the time, talking to my sister a lot, you know, and everything is just going really well now. And, you know, their strength and courage and, you know, being there for me, whether it was staying overnight at the hospital on the really uncomfortable couch or, you know, going with me to treatments, you know, they were always there, and I could always look in. You know, my dad usually was right there, my mom was there, and it was really nice to have that reassurance that they were there with me, that I wasn't going through it alone, you know, that they were there with me as well.
Yeah. Well, the
and
funny thing is...
And how are you feeling today? Go ahead, Michael, I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, the odd thing, Victoria, is that the motto of Fort McMurray is, we have the energy, so, I mean, there's so much working towards you, but anyways, go ahead, Vic, sorry.
No. I was going to say about the family aspect of it. David, were they supportive of you basically telling the story in this book?
Yeah, absolutely. They, you know, my dad said to me, you know, if this is going to help you release a lot of your anger, then I want you to do this. So my dad was huge for me getting this book done, and you know, for him, it was just a matter of me being able to just release all of these, you know, bad thoughts or bad emotions that I was keeping bottled up in me and, you know, releasing them in a very productive, healthy manner. And, you know, everybody was supportive of me writing this. And, in fact, you know, people really got to know me that they thought they knew me, but really got to know a whole new part of me because of the book.
Mm-hmm. Michael?
How did you end up running into Morales Scott, who's actually written the book? She's an award-winning author from the D.C. area. But how did she end up learning about you?
Actually, it was luck. I read her book in our house, which was just such a brilliant story. And, you know, I just kind of a fluke wrote to her, this is my story. Would you be able to take it on? And she responded, yes. And from there, I went out to Ohio, you know, a few times. And we went to her cabin there. And, you know, I just opened up completely like I've never opened up in my life, and we would just talk back and forth like a normal conversation, and I didn't know any better. I was just explaining kind of what I was going through, but what I didn't know was she was helping me release all of this negativity that I had in me that was, you know, hurting my spirit, and it came off in such a healthy way. There was, you know, I cried, I laughed, we had a good time there all those times, and she really helped me to overcome a lot of the stuff that was holding me back that I was doing to myself.
Yeah.
So she really helped me out in that area a lot.
Now, this story has a really good ending, too, because talk about the donor, Christian Holtmann from Germany. How did you end up finding him? Because, I mean, the biggest thing for bone marrow transplant is the match. So how did you end up finding this guy halfway around the world that essentially saved your life?
Well, I mean, for the first 2 years, you're not allowed to have any contact with your donor in case you pass. So after the 2 years, I started writing to the Vancouver Bone Marrow Registry, and from what I know, he was writing to the DKMS. And about 2 more years went past, and, you know, nothing was going on. So I, again, wrote to the Vancouver Bone Marrow Registry, And about, I don't know, about 2 or 3 or 4 months later, I get a call, and, you know, it was just kind of nonchalant. Hey, we found your donor. Would you like to meet him? Well, of course I want to meet him.
Wow.
So they gave me his name, his number, and his age. So I looked him up on Facebook, found him right away, sent him a message, and then we started communicating back and forth via email. And then later on in August, he came over here to California, and then from here we went to Vegas, had my 30th birthday, and then during that whole time, I was just asking a lot of questions, you know, like, why did you say yes? Even though you didn't know me, why did you say yes? And his answer was simple. I'm here to help serve the world, and I needed to, you know, do this. You know, it wasn't much for me to give, but I knew it was everything for you to receive. And,
wow.
You know, he was really humble about it all. So he had no problems in saying yes and donating it to me. And, you know, the way he looks at it is, you know, I'm his genetic DNA twin.
Yeah.
That's
Jesus,
amazing.
That gave me goosebumps.
I know. I was when David, you were saying that, I was literally sitting here thinking, man, like, I feel like I could cry for a quick second. Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. So do you still have a relationship in terms of like communicating with him? Today.
Absolutely. Actually, we talk usually once a week. We'll talk via Facebook and just, you know, update and how everything is going, how the book is going, how he's doing, how the family is doing. And, you know, we just talk back and forth and just hoping to plan a trip to go to visit him now in Germany. So I'm hoping that's going to come up here in the near future, that we can go out there and visit him and say thank you to the DKMS and just everybody involved with this process, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Now, from him being from Germany, I'll ask the stupid question, but he's in no way Cree or whatever.
Nope.
So it's just his blood was a genetic match.
Yes.
Wow, that's a small world,
that's
Vic.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. That blew me away, too. You know, I just couldn't believe that somebody halfway across the world, you know, was a match. Because when the doctors come in the room, they got a, you know, very... Well, they have to have a very pessimistic view. And for me, I knew there was somebody out there for me. It was just a matter of when it would be found. So when I found out that I didn't have one but two matches, it just, that part blew me away because I figured I'm a one in a billion. Here's two,
mm-hmm.
You know, so that really, you know, was cool. And then for me, it was a matter of the blood type. And I had to be positive throughout this whole situation. So the fact that Christian's blood was B positive just sealed it for me because I figured if I'm going to be positive in life, I need to have the blood type and just be it, live it.
Yeah.
So I embraced it.
That's
wow.
Excellent. That is absolutely excellent. And I also wanted to ask you, because Michael and I are actually running out of time right now, so what do you want people to kind of get out of your story, I mean, when they read the book?
A couple of things. I mean, first off, I want people to know that no matter what the situation is, and take it from me, because I was a person that was very cynical, if you can flip that mind frame around and just start being positive no matter what your situation is, believe me, good things will happen. The good things will happen in many different forms. And what I really also want to get across is the importance of bone marrow donation and how easy it is to now save a life. I mean, if you go to my webpage, www.davidtuckerow.com, go to the Become a Donor, click on there on that link, and it will tell you step-by-step on how to become a bone marrow donor. And it's as simple now as swabbing the inside of your cheek, sending it back to the registry, and they'll run it. If you're a match, they will let you know right away. Or when you become a match, they will let you know. And from there, the process, again, is very painless. Can't stress that enough. And they just take blood from one arm with a needle into a machine, it filters out your blood, your platelets, and your marrow, and it will put your blood and your platelets back into you in another needle. So it's very, very, very non-invasive.
Fantastic. The book is called Bad to the Bone by Morales Scott. Check it out on Amazon.com/Bad to the Bone. Also, check out David's website at www.davidtuckerow.com. And you said you're on Facebook, too. I'm going to hunt you out and friend you on Facebook, David.
Right on. I'll be there. David Tuckerow.
Cool beans, buddy. We're running out of time. I'm going to take you. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us tonight and tell us your story. I'm so happy you're well, and I want to give a huge shout out to Christian Holtman in Germany for giving the gift of life. I think it's a fantastic
Definitely.
Story, and I wish you all continued success, buddy, on such a huge level.
Thank you so very much for the kind words. I really, truly appreciate that. And, yes, thank you, Christian, and thank you to everybody out there. Let's make a difference in some lives and donate some marrow. It's really easy to do now.
Absolutely. Boy, how technology has come a far way, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
God bless you, buddy. You take care. We'll
thank
talk to you soon.
You.
I'll have you back. You know, let's have you back in about 6 months and see how the book is going and see how you're feeling, okay?
Yeah, definitely. Right on. That sounds perfect.
And bring
that sounds
Christian
good.
And bring Christian with you. I'm really interested in having a chat with him to have the
okay.
have both of you on the show together. We'll work on that.
All right, perfect. I'll let him know as well.
Cool beans,
okay.
buddy. Have
thank
a great
you,
night. Enjoy the California weather.
Absolutely. Thanks. You guys have a great one too. Take care.
Take care.
All right, thank you so much. What a great story. I always love these stories, Michael, when people come on and there's a happy ending, because you know I'm such a sucker for a happy ending story.
Well, I am. I'm a sucker for a happy ending, and you know what? This is a great happy ending, because when I was reading excerpts from his book, you know, he really did go through hell and back through this, and as anybody going through chemotherapy treatment, it's never an easy road. So, I'm always happy to hear the fun in his voice, and it's so funny how you know, I used to, when I was younger, I was very, very cynical as well, but once you get a true life scare, boy, that cynicism tends to leave you pretty quickly, and you end up becoming a little more lighthearted, and I think that's something that we all should look for instead of having to go through a disease to figure it out. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes, definitely. I definitely agree 100%, Bill. And again, all of David's information is inside of our chat room, and we're going to post it after the show is over. So make sure you, you know, kind of follow him, and perhaps he can be an inspiration to you if you're going through something, or, you know, if you know someone else going through something, you can check out the book. It's called Bad to the Bone, and it basically chronicles, I can't even get that word out, Michael and I are both sick today, chronicles his challenge with leukemia that David was actually facing. Michael, are we going to listen to some music to head out, or are you going to chat about what we've got coming up on At Home with Victoria this week before we say goodbye?
I'm going to go ahead and chat up what we've got coming out. Our good friend Savannah Grace from Nashville, Tennessee, 13-year-old, is launching her brand-new single called Broken. Her YouTube video comes out tomorrow, believe it or not, and then we'll have her on Wednesday with our favorite, Preston Leatherman. Preston Leatherman, man, he is tied up in so many projects, left, right, and center. He actually directed Savannah's new video, which is, I got the sneak peek. You know what, I love this job, because that's exactly what I get to do, to have a sneak peek of all the new stuff that no one's seen yet. So James Lucenti from Lucenti Entertainment went ahead and sent me it, and it is a fantastic video. So check that out. And also on Thursday, we have Beverly Pills. Ginger Parker, the writer-director, along with Louis Bustamante, has a new web series called Beverly Pills. It dropped today. Check it out, BeverlyPillsTheSeries.com. It's hilarious, and of course, it has Steve Silverman's hand in it, so you can tell it's got a little bit of that funny sickness going to it. So go ahead and check that out. But other than that, Victoria, yeah, let's go ahead and end a little early. We're both kind of sick, so. From At Home with Victoria, I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for At Home with Victoria. Victoria, go ahead and take some meds and try and get better. And actually, congratulate you and good luck tomorrow on International Connection.
Oh, yep. That is tomorrow. You know, my days are running all together now. Yep, that's tomorrow at 3 o'clock USA time and 9 o'clock in the morning for folks in New Zealand.
Absolutely. Good night, Vic. Have a great night, and thanks for joining us. Take care.
Night.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.